Drunk, Single, and Vulnerable, pull up a stool, let's talk. I am talking to you on a Sunday right now, and that's honestly something I thought I would never do, because when I was in college, I took this class called Quest for Human Destiny, taught by this very cocky, pretentious, and intelligent professor named Holstein, Dr. Holstein, right? And he was an expert on the original Hebrew Bible, and man, he could drop some knowledge on you. You know, this is a guy who knew a lot about religions and the history of religion and language and the original intent of, you know, the meaning of the names and the books. And, you know, he was f-ing fantastic, really. And he said, if I could say one thing from the original Hebrew Bible that I think is relevant today, and it was trying to say, if I had to pick one thing, that thing would be, don't do anything one day a week, right? Keep the Sabbath, you know? And that, this is what I took from it, because I'm pretty sure if you're Jewish, the Sabbath is Saturday, because I'm an expert on f-ing world religions, obviously. I don't even know, I'm not even 100% sure about that. But anyways, I kind of took this to heart, or I like that idea. It's hard to do nothing, you know, and I try to do nothing once a week, you know, just like God did. So anyways, Sunday, I fucking watch football, and I drink herbal tea and stretch, and I eat a lot of donuts if I feel like it, and sometimes I eat, you know, healthy, but I don't do things on Sundays. But then I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting story, and actually Patrick came over to my house on a Sunday, so that makes it pretty okay that I didn't do any traveling, you know. But this is weird, but I gotta say, this works for me, or that I'm so hard on myself all the time. I'm not hard on myself on Sundays. It's been a lot of practice, but I figured out where I'm like, hey David, Sunday you could just nap from here on out if you would like, because, you know, that's what you do. You take one day off. So I'm here, I'm a day off, you know, talking to you, I'm a day off, but it's nice. It's been a while. Anyways, I got a story. I mean, I'm trying to come out as a sensitive white single male, you know, it's difficult. And I just feel like that I've got some like hilarious dating kind of stories, and I don't quite know how to tell them or if I should tell them, but I think I can tell this one. You know, it seems pretty harmless. So anyways, I meet my friend for a drink. I've got a friend who's got a very radical and interesting political perspective, and he's very smart, and we like to get drunk and hash it out, you know, over a good game of darts, right? What else do 35-year-old single dudes do, you know? I don't fucking know, but yeah, so of course I'm going to play darts, you know, go to play some darts, and I start talking to my friend that I'm talking to. Well, he's from Germany. A lot of people refer to him as the German, and that is kind of borderline racist a little bit, but I brought that up. I'm like, isn't it weird that people always refer to you as the German? And he's like, well, when you're from Germany, you can't really ever complain because, like, we're the Germans. So me and the German are sitting and we're talking. I'm like, hey, German, you know, you remind me a lot of my friend Bob. My friend Bob is one of the smartest people I've ever met, or he's my smartest friend. You know, no offense to anybody, but in terms of, like, I believe the word is intellectual horsepower, in terms of who can hold the most up there and do the most with it, I'd have to go with Bob, you know? He's a smart f***ing guy. And naturally, since I'm from Iowa, I also know his test scores too. But so anyways, Bob and I used to drink, and Bob is an atheist, and I am a agnostic of a particular bent, and we would get drunk and we would talk about the nature of the universe, you know? And as we would do this, we got on this weird streak where at some point, usually around 11 or 12 at night, a woman or two would come and join us. Like, and they would say, you seem like nice guys and you seem like you're having an interesting conversation. I mean, like, that happened consecutive weeks in this, you know, once a week drinking that mature adults often engage in. So our conversations are getting really pretty interesting, and I think that people are going to start joining us, you know? I said that. I don't know, I've never done a story with a flashback. Let's do a quick flashback, okay? So I'm in Las Vegas. My brothers go to sleep early, right? I'm there on a trip with them. And, you know, we're the good boys. We don't stay out and drink, but I want to. I do. When I'm in Vegas, I want to get drunk and party. It's weird. I know. So anyways, and I want to play poker, and I'm sitting there and I'm walking through the casinos of Vegas by myself drunk, trying to find a weak poker game, you know? And it's so, I'm wondering if the women that I'm looking at are just prostitutes, or they've just kind of, you know, dressing that way because they're in Vegas. And then I think, man, I just want to pay a prostitute to talk to me while I play poker. Like, I just want to, like, pay someone to drink with me right now. And I wish there was, like, a service or somebody would hand me a card with that on it, you know? So it's my fault. So I asked for this, you know? And sometimes when you ask for things, they come a little bit late. So I'm at a borderline trashy bar playing darts with the German. And two extremely aggressive women in very high heels with very large amounts of cleavage and tattoos and sparkly eyes sit down and start aggressively hitting on us, right? I mean, it's intense and it's out of nowhere and it's like, you can't impress us. And anyways, but like it was intense. Like, it was such an intense pitch about them hanging out with us, and then they immediately ordered a drink and didn't really pay for it, you know? I mean, it was cheap drink, so they've sat down and I've bought them a drink, and like, they're not allowing us to make this an okay situation. What I'm saying is, me, Dave Good, if I'm drunk at a bar with my buddy, almost most women in this world could come and ask to join me, and I would want them to join me, you know? When I'm out, if a woman wants to come and drink with me, that is not a tough sell for me, okay? Drunk, single, and vulnerable, pull up a stool, let's talk. But these women are just so obnoxious, I become convinced that they have to be prostitutes, and me and the German step outside for a smoke, right? And explain to another gentleman who's outside smoking, like, how do you know if someone is a prostitute or not? Like, are these women prostitutes or not? Because, God, their heels were just so fucking high, you know? They were so high, and it was such... This is Minnesota. Anyways, so the German is now quite intimidated because we're sensitive fucking readers, you know? I mean, I'm a movie watcher more than a reader, you know? But just like, we're not in our element. And the thing is, the more we try to calm these women down, the more they think that they just need to get sluttier, right? Because that's what... I hate that word, but that's what guys like, right? So they're like, oh, we used to date and we lick each other's. And we don't know quite what to do because, you know, I don't know what to do. So, and there, we come back and they haven't left the table. We've like hoped that they would leave. Anyways, but I'm telling people the story of what's happening. Like, I told some dudes out smoking, I think we're getting hit on prostitutes. And this guy's like a regular at the bar. So he now tells everyone else at the bar what's happening. And I come down and sit with the potential prostitutes. And I say, I don't know what to say, but I'm concerned that there's going to be a big sales pitch at the end of this. Which I think is the most delicate way of saying, are you a prostitute? And they're like, oh no, we're not prostitutes. We just thought you were a couple of cute and interesting guys. You can't impress us with money. Nothing you can say can impress us, you know? And I was like, I do hospitality for world famous rock musicians. I know they were impressed. But anyways, I'm like, I am trying to make it okay. I don't know what to say. I can't tell them just get the fuck away from us, which is maybe what I should say, you know, but the second we start playing darts, they start jumping up and down and screaming. They're so like bouncing their cleavage and like giggling, and they're screaming so loud. And I'm talking to these women like, hey, you're more than welcome to play darts with us, but if you could just lower your voices a little bit. Anyways, but again, now I'm drunker, you know, and the cleavage and the sparkly eyes and all that stuff, I mean, it has an impact. It's difficult, you know, my decision-making capacities do get altered. And I lose track of the German who has a girlfriend and, you know, anyways, he's now getting aggressively, she's like, you know, how about you watch me and my friends have sex? And like, they started like rubbing their bodies against each other. And my friend was like, could you please just leave me alone? Leave me alone. And he told them to go away, you know? And so, anyways, I don't know how good of a story that is. You know, we were just a couple of nice guys looking for some people to drink with, you know? I mean, anything, you know? We just kept talking, like, tell us some kind of a story. Like, give us, you know, some intellectual biscuit to hold on to, and everything's going to be fine, you know? But that's what it's like out there. But it's weird, you know, so I'm 35 years old. I go out to the bars, you know, I don't look 35, you know, and I'm so good at drinking now. It's just kind of weird. You know, I'm so good at pool. I know what to order. I know where to sit. I know how to talk to ladies at bars, you know, I've been doing it for 20 years, not 20, but since I was 18 for sure. So 17 years of talking to ladies at bars, you know. Which is fun. I mean, it's nice. It takes the edge off, you know. But that's, you know, speaking of taking care of the rock stars, you know, which I do sometimes. You know, you don't think that rock stars have families, but really a lot of them do. And so they're on the road and they're drunk and you're getting adulation from attractive ladies, you know. And what you do is you just... they just talk to them until they know this woman is actually interested in sleeping with them, and then they call it a night, you know? You just enjoy the experience of the negotiation. Just to keep the blood flowing, but then you don't have to, you know, sleep with other women while you're married, which can be very problematic.
Been listening to The Dave Good Show.